I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Sherry Peel Jackson. She is the founder of SP Jackson Consulting, the creator of the KPG system. She is the go-to expert for six-figure professionals who want to escape the corporate rat race while legally keeping more of what they earn. She is a former IRS agent turned wealth strategist, and she shows entrepreneurs and high-earning employees how to build lasting wealth without falling into common tax traps. And I can say this, if you're in business, I seriously doubt you are paying too few taxes, probably paying too much. So tune in, because I think this is going to be an interesting episode. Sherry, welcome.
Thank you, Craig, for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, one of the things you said in the green room, you said nobody should be afraid of the IRS. And my response was, I am. They scare me.
Yeah, they are scary to a lot of people because that facade has been up there with the picture of Uncle Sam. And it's like, I want your money. There's that saying that everybody repeats and everybody knows it. There's nothing sure in life but death and taxes. And that's not true. Lots of corporations and individuals don't pay any taxes. They just have the secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's intimidating. And when I'm making decisions in my business, my litmus test is I picture myself sitting across the table from an auditor. And if I feel confident, if I feel like I could honestly say to the auditor, here's what I did, here's why I did it, I felt like I was doing the right thing, then I'll do it. If I don't feel like I can do that, then I won't do it. And that doesn't mean I'm always going to understand the tax code correctly. But part of that thought was, I want to be able to confidently say to the auditor, I haven't been audited yet, I'm assuming that day's coming. And I want to be able to confidently say to them that I want them to believe that I wasn't trying to do anything dubious, that I genuinely believed I could do that. But I also know that that means I'm probably missing out on a lot of things, because maybe some ways I'm a little too cautious.
Right. And most people are. See, I'm one that stands for justice. When I was young, when I was 9 years old, actually, we had a neighbor that had a son, and I had a little brother about the same age. And my dad bought my brother a big wheel, and he loved that big wheel. And, you know, we played with the big wheel. I was a little bit too big for it, but he kind of turned it over once and it got a little scratch on it, and it was kind of a big scratch, about the size of a quarter. So one day we came home and the big wheel wasn't on the carport. And the next day, the little boy next door had a big wheel. It's like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. So I went over there and I looked at the big wheel and I saw that little scratch on there that said, I said, wait a minute, that's my brother's big wheel, because he had this scratch. And the boy said, no, 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 my dad bought this big wheel. And so when the man came home, now I'm 9 years old, when the man came home, I asked the man, you know, hey, you didn't buy this. This is my brother's big wheel. And he said, I bought that big wheel. And then I said to the man, show me the receipt. So I've always been that person that stands for justice. So when you deal with IRS people, there are people in there that don't have a life and they want to be the Gestapo to you, but you have people in there that want to do right. And I was one of those that wanted to make sure that the small business owner, which is what the IRS calls the low-hanging fruit, didn't get unjustly taxed, and that's what it's supposed to be, but that's not necessarily what it is. So it's easier.
Hang on. The IRS calls me low-hanging fruit.
Yes, sir. And unless you have a big corporation or some kind of family limited partnership, the mom and pop businesses, they're low hanging fruit. And when we graduate from the IRS training, the first thing they do is sick us on the small businesses because 9 times out of 10, that's where you're going to get the deductions because these people, they don't have CPAs and attorneys that they can hire. They just don't make that much money yet. So they do their own tax return. And inevitably, you find that they made some mistakes. They're honest mistakes, but they're mistakes. So they end up owing a lot of taxes a lot of times.
That's horrible.
It's
That is
horrible.
absolutely horrible. The backbone of the American economy is a small business, and that's their target. That's they call us low-hanging fruit.
Yes, exactly right. If you look at the IRS's background, especially in these days, they don't have the people, the capacity to audit these larger companies. And I've seen articles that express such. So when they send an IRS agent out to audit a corporation, that IRS agent has to have the background to be able to argue with a CPA and attorney. If they don't want to send that person out, somebody fresh out of school or somebody that has a bachelor's degree without a CPA. They don't want to send that person out because I had a CPA when I was an IRS agent. And I remember having to fight with attorneys and, slamming my fist down on the table and saying, "No, you're wrong." And they don't want that because the IRS agents are probably intimidated. The ones that I've seen the last time I dealt with the IRS, they looked like, kids out of school with slick hair and, tall boots on. And that's not what it started out to be. So it's different now. So the low-hanging fruit is where the money comes from. Unfortunately, it's the middle class. In seems like every area of our economy, it's the middle class that's getting squeezed.
Yeah. You know, I have a mentor who got audited by the IRS, and he actually has a tax lawyer that works for him. And so he calls him and he's like, "Hey, I just got audited." And the IRS was saying that he owed the IRS like $30,000. And I say this tax lawyer, he's the guy that makes IRS agents cry because the IRS showed up, and not only did he prove that my mentor didn't owe $30,000, he proved that the IRS owed my mentor $40,000. So the IRS showed up thinking they were going to collect $30,000. They left owing $40,000. And I'm sure that didn't go over well when they went back to the office without the big trophy, and as a matter of fact, having to write a check.
Exactly. I've had that situation. I had a client that called me and said, "I just got back from the hospital. I was diagnosed with MS. When I got to the mailbox, I had a letter that I'm being audited, Sherry. I can't do this." And, it ended up that no, she didn't owe anything and she got a refund. So it's all about making sure that you have the knowledgeable people to help you. I would not recommend anybody do that alone.
Yeah. Now you had a run-in with the IRS. Which is weird because you're an IRS agent. So you've got me really curious. What was your run-in with the IRS?
So when I was an IRS agent, I thought I was doing the right thing. I got out of the IRS and started a CPA firm. When I quit, everybody started coming to me saying, "Hey, do you realize that the income tax is being misrepresented and misapplied to the American people? In other words, it's not us that's supposed to be paying." Right now, President Trump has it right with the tariffs. That's what the Constitution says. Imposts, excises, duties, and tariffs is what's being, and I would listen to them. But somebody finally challenged me with a $50,000 reward for anybody that could prove we had to pay income taxes and file an income tax return. And as I really studied, then I couldn't find a law. So in school and IRS training, we used little booklets that they put together and they gave us what they wanted to give us. And of course, I made all A's because I memorized and understood what was in the books. But the tax code is different. The tax code is written for businesses, and the individuals are not the ones liable for the income tax. We're supposed to be getting tax from other countries for the privilege of doing business here. So I started speaking out about that, and the IRS didn't like that. Back in 2000, I got together with a group called We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education. And they put a full page ad out in the USA Today saying, "Dear We the People, income tax is a fraud." And that turned into a whole movement called the Tax Honesty Movement. Aaron Russo is a Hollywood producer that made Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and The Rose with Bette Midler. He produced a documentary called America, Freedom to Fascism. I was in there, a couple of other former IRS agents, IRS Criminal Investigation Division agent, an FBI agent, Ed Griffin, which is a historian, a lot of attorneys were in the movie saying, "Hey, go do your research because we're being robbed." IRS didn't like that. And so they started prosecuting us, literally trying to put everybody in jail. Some of us didn't go to jail, but some of us did. And so I was one of the ones that they raided my house and were there for from 7:45 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon at gunpoint. Craig, they had us, like, my whole family at gunpoint. Now, we're a homeschooling family just trying to keep what we earn. Had us at gunpoint, left with 32 boxes. And 3 years later, they couldn't come up with anything. So they charged me with misdemeanor, willful failure to file. I didn't file tax returns because I was keeping what I earned. And they
Wow.
gave me a 4-year sentence on that misdemeanor charge. There are people that have done unspeakable things to children that don't get that many years. And I literally got
Let
put in
me
prison.
name one. Let me name one. Larry Nassar, the
Okay.
gymnast,
Yes,
the gymnast who was molesting young girls. The FBI knew about that for 10 years and they did nothing. The
nothing.
FBI knew about Jeffrey Epstein
Yes.
for decades, did nothing.
Yes. And they gave a homeschooling mother a 4-year sentence on a misdemeanor because I refused to give my money over. The whole trial was a 3-ring circus in the first place. But I ended up doing a 3-year stint in federal prison. I got 6 months good time and 6 months halfway house. That's the only reason I wasn't in there for 4 solid years, because I have a powerful voice. I had 9 letters behind my name. I was a CPA. I was a certified fraud examiner, all of these things. And I was telling the truth, and I wasn't telling people what to do. Those of us that were former IRS agents made a pact not to tell people to file or not to file, not to tell people to pay or not to pay. We just said, do your own due diligence. And what I would say is, do your due diligence and make sure that, you decide whether you want to be a slave or get off the plantation. They did not like that at all. And one of the other things I would bring up is I have a picture in my office of some slaves in the cotton field picking cotton. And the caption says, "If stealing 100% of the products of someone's labor is slavery, at what percentage is it not slavery?" So this ends up not being a racial issue. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, any of that. We as Americans are being robbed. The money that we're giving over to the IRS is going to do things that we don't want done.
And there's a saying I heard. Well, let me back up. I think the FBI should be abolished. People are like, well, we need to get back to when they were an honorable institution. I'm like, when was the FBI honorable? Please tell me the time FBI was. So you live in Atlanta, and what was it, 1996? Richard Jewell, an American hero, they ruined his life. He was the one that found the bomb at the Olympic Village. He got people out of the way of the bomb. He saved lives, and the FBI ruined his life trying to accuse him of being the bomber.
Yes.
That's who they are.
That's who they are.
They wiretapped Martin Luther King. They watched him. They listened to him do some horrible things against women. Didn't intervene. Didn't protect women. And then they tried to convince him to commit suicide.
Right.
Did you know that?
I did not know about the suicide part.
Yeah, they sent in somebody, had him send a letter to Martin Luther King saying, "Hey, look, your legacy is in jeopardy and your movement is in jeopardy. The best thing you can do to preserve your movement and your legacy is to commit suicide." The FBI tried to get Martin Luther King to commit suicide.
I think
And
that, go ahead. I think
Please.
the IRS, the FBI, and all of those are like bouncers for the club. You and my name for the IRS, honestly, is the insidious representatives of Satan, because that they take money away from these families that could be doing better. They could be sending their children to college to be doctors, or they could take a nice vacation. But now they say, I think we're working until May in order to get the money. So all the money from January to May goes to the IRS. So the system is set up for us to fail, and one that's going to buck the system and continue to buck the system. So.
That's so awesome. Well, and here's, what I was about to say a minute ago was there's a saying that when people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And when you look at what we're talking about, where the FBI raided your house, had you under gunpoint, they do that to people. They do that to innocent people, knowingly doing that to innocent people. And it's the power they have, and they have unlimited prosecutorial resources to ruin your life, kind of like they did Richard Jewell.
Yes,
And
that's the point.
Richard Jewell seemed like a simple man who was acting honorably. He wasn't some sophisticated person that was equipped to go up against the FBI, but he's an American hero. He saved lives, and they ruined his life.
Yes. And they ruin a lot of lives. The IRS came into my home, and there are rules, and a lot of times they'll break the rules, but a lot of times they'll skate around them. For example, people that have done the research understand what I'm about to say. When they had me at gunpoint and finally opened the door, because I decided that I didn't want to see my children, I didn't want my children to see me laying in a pool of blood, because everybody else was asleep. I was downstairs in my office doing some work. So I opened the door, and the first two people that entered my home were local police officers, and they let the IRS in. So there's a difference. They didn't have jurisdiction there, and they knew that, but the local police officers let them in. And there were 15 to 20 of them that just came in. They had one in the backyard that had a metal detector that was going around in circles in the backyard. I don't know what they had been told about me, but most of them seemed surprised that whatever they were told, they didn't see that. So they had surprised looks on their faces.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, and it's up to us. We need to vote. Voter turnout is just absolutely horrendous. We complain about our government, but when it comes time to step up and vote and change things, and I'll admit the choices are frequently poor choices, but we have major elections being won by a 20% voter turnout. And I think the first place to start is you have to start local. And those are the races that are ignored the most. Let's start as we did as a nation. Start small, win the local races, and then win the state races, and then win the national races, demanding change and do away with a stupid partisanship. They capitalize on that. They count on that, on us being divided against each other, even when because we have different beliefs on certain issues. But the reality is we get the government we deserve because we're not playing our role in that we have as citizens to say the type of government that we want.
I think that there's another spin on that also. I do believe that you should start out with the local races, but based on the research that I've done, our government, especially at the national level, has been bought out by the corporations and the lobbyists. So people have lost all hope in the government because they feel like their votes don't count, because all of the rules and regulations that are being put in place are benefiting the corporations, what I call the corporatocracy. So that's why people have kind of shied away from it. But yeah, I believe that the local elections are a good start to try to get at least your community back.
Well, and if we look at COVID, it's kind of to support your point. It was Amazon and Walmart that were the big winners of COVID. The small businesses that you're talking about, they were the losers. It was one of the biggest wealth transfers in American history from the middle class to the billionaires. And I don't have anything against billionaires. I wouldn't mind being one. But it's no, and I mean, and we won't dive down this rabbit hole, but I was admitted to the hospital with COVID, and the US government paid a bonus to my doctors to give me a drug that they knew did not treat COVID. The World Health Organization put out a policy saying, don't prescribe this. The drug's name is remdesivir. Don't prescribe remdesivir for COVID. It doesn't work. From 2015, when they gave it to Ebola patients, it killed 53% of the people they gave it to. It put them in liver failure and or kidney failure. But for some reason, when I went in the hospital, they gave me remdesivir. And it sure enough, it put me in kidney failure. And the only people that benefited from that drug were the drug manufacturers who got paid these, made a lot more money because they were able to sell a deadly drug, and the doctors in the hospital systems that were prescribing it. It wasn't helping the middle class. It definitely didn't help me. It nearly killed me.
Right. And people that had, at least two comorbidities just were dropping like flies. People in my community, the Black community, with a lot of high blood pressure and stuff, they were dropping like flies. And Fauci should be in jail somewhere or under the jail. He should be in a dungeon somewhere. I understand what happened. 2020 was a thief, even to me financially. And I didn't lose necessarily any close friends, but there are church members that just dropped. Because of, this remdesivir and all the things they wouldn't let happen, like the drug Joe Rogan took. I can't think of the name of it right now, but
Ivermectin.
ivermectin. I actually traveled far and wide to find ivermectin. I have a home in Costa Rica. I went to the pharmacy in Costa Rica as soon as they let us get out of the country and say, "Can you give me some of that?" And he said, "How much?" And that's all he
Yep.
had to say. But I believe in natural medicine. I believe the system, especially the pharmaceuticals, one of the reasons that we as Americans are being dragged down. I think that for whatever reason, they don't want us to be, the country that we're supposed to be. Klaus Schwab and Yuval Harari and all that with nothing and be happy, and that we're useless eaters. I read and I research that and try to let people know you gotta stand up. Like I said, I am that one that stands for justice. And this is a lot of injustice going on every different level.
So let's pivot back to taxes, because we could, Sherry, you and I could chat about that for hours, but I would enjoy that. I would really enjoy that. But so let's get back to taxes. So what should business owners be doing? And let me just kind of throw this out. There's a lot of people that basically are not at the point of, no, I'm not ready to roll the dice and risk all to stop paying taxes. I'm going to pay taxes. Speaking to those people, what should they start doing that they're not presently doing?
So those are the people that I deal with. 99% of the people are not going to try to cut the head off the beast like I did. And I don't recommend that for anybody. So the ones that want to stay within the system need to learn how to starve the beast. How do you starve the beast? Well, if you're an individual that has a W-2, the first thing that you need to do is you need to go get a home-based business. Because with a home-based business, you're going to have deductions that you'll never have as an employee. As an employee, you can't write off your cell phone and your internet and your mileage, but with your business, you can. So whether you're a sole proprietor, you start a partnership or a corporation, it's going to help you. The thing that I tell people, and this is one of the most salacious stories about taxes, there is a case. It's a 1994 case, and a woman named Cindy Hess decided that she was going to write off her breast enlargement. And she did it on her tax return, and the IRS took that deduction away. Cindy decided to go to tax court, and the tax court sided with Cindy. Why did they side with her and let her take her breast enlargement? Because Cindy Hess, better known as Chesty Love, was a pole dancer. And it was an ordinary and necessary business expense for her to get more income. So,
Yeah.
Internal Revenue Code Section 162 says that all ordinary and necessary business expenses are tax deductible. What is ordinary and necessary? Common, helpful, appropriate. And when you do that and you have your records, they can't do anything about it. So if you're writing off whatever, don't be afraid to write it off. When I say that they call the small business owners a low-hanging fruit, yes, they do. But one of the problems that they usually have as small business owners is they're trying to do their business. They're not accountants. So they don't keep up with their records. And if you can't afford to get a bookkeeper or an accountant, you have to keep meticulous records. Keeping your records means for everything that you spend that's a business expense, buy a small two drawer or maybe four drawer file cabinet and keep your expenses, keep your receipts. Now, I know that a lot of people are technical now and there are apps out there for that, but put folders on your computer for all of your expenses. Put your advertising expenses in a folder, your insurance, your supplies, all that in a folder, whether it be on the computer or in a real folder, so that when you get audited, if you get audited, then you have all your receipts and then you won't have any changes. It's called a no change audit. You'll have a no change audit. So I emphasize, first of all, getting the home-based business. And I say home-based because you don't want to have to pay your rent and rent to an office park or your mortgage and rent to an office park. Lots of people during COVID had to shut down and just redo their homes and have businesses in their homes.
Well, and something I learned somewhat recently is if you're an S corp and you've declared that you have a home office, even if you have a brick and mortar office that you go to, you can deduct the travel expenses to go from your home office to your brick and mortar. Or for me, I have a co-working place that I go, and so the travel between my home office and my co-working place, that's a business expense.
Right. The way I look at it and the way I teach my clients is everything is tax deductible until it's not. Every time I breathe is tax deductible. If I need to go to the grocery store or if I need to go to some store that's special a long way from my home, I'll pick up something that's business related, some pens, pencils, paper, and that mileage is now deductible. When I go to take my granddaughter to Orlando to go to Universal Studios, I make sure that I see clients there. And I make sure that I do maybe a small seminar there, and then it's tax deductible. Of course, there are limits. I can't go get a big suite. I could deduct the hotel room because I was already going to be in there alone. I can't deduct the universal tickets, but for the most part, we need to think strategically about tax deductions.
I have some family members that just moved, and I'm currently searching for a new business reason, the business contact in the town that they moved to, because when my wife and I get in the car and we drive there, it's a business expense and it's substantial.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, neat. Well, Sherry, I really appreciate your heart and one of the things that you said while we were still in the green room was that, it's really about gaining freedom. And as much as we, critique our politicians and our government, we still have laws that protect us. And I think we just need to stand up and declare those. But they need people. Especially businesses need people to navigate these waters. How can folks contact you?
Well, I have a website, sherrypeeljackson.com, and my email address is connect@sherrypeeljackson.com. I have a YouTube channel, and I post on YouTube. I talk about tax deductions. I talk about politics and different things and have classes sometimes. I have a class coming up in January called The Elimination of Taxation, where I'll be teaching people these deductions that you don't hear about from the CPA, you don't hear about from the government. So these are ways that people can contact me.
Well, that's excellent. Well, Sherry, I hope they do because I still believe America is the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect, no country is, but because of our Constitution, it, if nothing else, it gives us the freedom of speech to have this conversation that, and I do hope people reach out to you and They've taken the big step to start a business. They should reap the benefits, the legal benefits that come from that. Thanks for coming on Layers and Legacies.
Thank you, Craig, for having me on.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.